have somebody we call a high praise in here, but we're singing about the total praise, the praise that only belongs to God Himself. So we thank God. We just thank God for being a mighty good God. And praise is what we do, church. Amen. And praise is our weapon. When there's so much coming at us every day, pull out your praise. Amen. And watch the atmosphere change. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we come once again on a communion Sunday, God, to just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Thank you, God, that the blood still works, God. And God, we just thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and just making ways out of no way, God. We just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, for leading, guiding, keeping us, protecting us in the name of Jesus. So God, we lift up this message to you that you would do anything that you need to do, God, to help us, to set us free, Lord God. To set us free. God, if there be anything in me that would block me from hearing directly from heaven, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, preach today a message, God, that will make us better for you. A message that will equip us for service, God. Holy Spirit, speak to your people this day, Lord God, that we may go out and be witnesses for you, our Lord and our Savior. So Holy Spirit, just have your way. Allow your power, your presence, your glory, your anointing to be felt throughout this entire block. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Let the church say amen. 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 Hallelujah. On this communion Sunday, we're going to read about Jesus' instructions for the believer and for the church. So I ask that you turn to the gospel according to Matthew and please stand and go to the 18th chapter of Matthew. The 18th chapter's a lot of lessons in there for us, but this is where God is sending us on this communion Sunday. So once you've found it, please stand and go to the 18th chapter, verse 21. Amen. And I talked to the ministers and deacons about reading from NIV or New King James Version. So I believe this is the NIV that I will be reading for. I have several versions here in front of me. But if you found the 18th chapter and you're down to the 21st verse, church, say amen. Amen. And it reads this way. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often shall I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. Contemporary version. Peter came up to the Lord and asked, how many times shall I forgive someone? Hallelujah. How many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? Is seven enough? Jesus answered, not just seven times, but 77 times. Amen. Amen. And each time I go to this topic, first man, tell me, okay, it's necessary, but sometimes it get awfully tight. But we know it's right because it's the word. Amen. And sometime last year, I believe we preached, or God gave us a message about what is your issue? What is your issue? And God is saying, now let's go deep into individual issues. In order for our church to be whole and heal and do the work of the Lord, there are some issues that God wants to just purge from us. So he's starting with this topic, and each week is going to be another issue that the people of God is struggling with in the church. Now, we're not talking about the world. We're talking about the people in the church, the ones to say, I love the Lord, and he heard my cry. The one that says, hallelujah, God. The ones that I believe you, Lord. The ones that, God, you're great and greatly to be praised. The message is for those persons. So our title this morning simply is three words: choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. See, it's a choice. Sometimes we be holding on to stuff just because we want to hold on to it. But if we're going to serve our Lord and our Savior, and we're going to change some stuff here in this world, people of God, you must choose to forgive. Hallelujah. It's a choice. It's a choice. I recognize and I believe this is a critical issue in the lives of God's people. I remember when I was at Howard University in the doctorate program, we spent an entire semester discussing forgiveness. It was this little book we read from, says, Finding Peace Through Letting Go. Entire semester. You don't know how long a semester is? Since unforgiveness can poison and destroy families, church families, friendships, communities, Howard wanted the pastors and the preachers to be equipped to confront this spirit of unforgiveness. And as I journeyed through that class, I was amazed at the number of preachers who were delivered just because of this class, because they had stuff they were holding on to. But in order to be a great preacher, to be a great minister, to be a great leader in the church, you must root all unforgiveness out of you. Let the church say amen. See, I believe all of us have been challenged at some point to forgive or not to forgive. But God is saying to our church this morning, Abundant Life, in order for you to be in the righteous relationship with me, in order for you to walk in obedience to my word, in order for you to have peace and the joy of Jesus, you must remove any unforgiveness from your heart. Amen. I know sometimes this is a challenge because I talk to a lot of people, and this is one of the topics I just wish the church was full to hear. As I began to prepare this message, the Holy Spirit gave me so much that I had to delete half of it. But I just pray that what is here today and what God is saying today will make the difference in your lives, in our church, in our families, in our communities. Because if we want to experience the power of God, the promises of God, the presence of God in this place and in our lives, church, we must be obedient to this word and forgive. Does anybody believe that this morning? Let the believers say amen. I know this is not for everybody, because each time I preach about forgiveness, someone comes up to me and say, I can't do that. But in order to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost, you must forgive and let it go. This topic causes all of us to evaluate our lives and our relationships with family, friends, church family, co-workers, others. So once again, God has taken us back, you all, to do a spiritual checkup. See, you go to the doctor for your physical checkup, but today God is taking us back to do a spiritual checkup. So let's be real in this place as it relates to this topic. I believe all of us want the peace of Jesus, the joy of Jesus, but there are some things we must let go. Let the church say amen. So let's go to our morning topic. Jesus is having a conversation with Peter. Peter comes up because he's so proud of himself. How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. See, Peter knew what the rabbi said. The rabbi said only three times. So Peter, feeling that he's boasting, chest sticking out, Jesus, I'm going to forgive them seven times. But Jesus said no. 77 times. Most of us are familiar with this passage. I don't know whether we all have been able to apply it yet, but we're familiar with it. Basically, Jesus is saying, you're not to keep track of how many times you forgive someone. Jesus put no limit on forgiveness, for true forgiveness comes from our heart of love. True forgiveness keeps no record of wrong. One commentary indicated the real difference between Peter's proposal and Jesus' response is it's not about math at all, but it's about the nature of forgiveness and the heart of the person. Basically, whoever counts has not forgiven at all. Wow. Something to think about, you all. Search your hearts today because God wants you whole. The answer to Peter's question was not about numbers at all. Whether it was three, whether it was seven. Jesus wanted us to understand, just like the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I remember in seminary, the professor said people lie so often because when they pray that prayer, they have no intentions of forgiving others, but they want God to forgive them. So y'all pray for me as I begin to share with you what God has said, because sometimes the word convicts, but the power of this word should change us and transform us. So open your spiritual ears and heart and hear what thus says the Lord. Because we all know about forgiveness. Yes, we do. The question this morning is, why are we still struggling with this issue of total forgiveness, really? We say we're Christians. You say Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but this is the instructions that he's given to believers. But why? Let me just ask the question. Why did we still want to get even with people? Come on, talk back to me. We want to punish them because they're wronged us. Am I right about it? Come on, somebody talk to me. I know it's not just me. And then sometimes we cause situations ourselves, you all. And then you get angry and mad about it. You have the nerve to loan money to someone that you know can't pay you back. And then when they don't pay you back, you're upset, you're mad, you're angry, you're talking about them. But you put this thing in motion yourself. Hallelujah. and I tell you all about going to the throne instead of the phone. Then you tell your darkest secret to someone you call a friend, and then they tell everybody else your business. And you're angry. You don't want to forgive them. But you put it all in motion. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if you can't keep it, what make you think they're going to keep your secret? Really? See, y'all don't have to talk back to me this morning, because this is a difficult subject to talk about, because nobody wants anybody else to know that you got some unforgiveness in your heart. Everybody want to sit up tall and look holy this morning. So I need y'all to help me preach this thing. Amen. But it's for our good. When we do not forgive, let me tell you some of the things that happen. We break fellowship with God. That's the truth. When we do not forgive, we become bitter and block the transforming power of our Lord and Savior. When you don't forgive, just think about it. Unforgiveness is harmful and dangerous. I read this medical article in Bowie. The doctor said this: the most critical problem that I encounter amongst patients is bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness is killing the people in the form of high blood pressure, heart disease, cancer, all because they can't forgive. So we must make a commitment. I pray you do this today, to get rid of anything in your heart that's dealing with unforgiveness. Come on, people. This is for the church. We're not talking about the people in the world. We're talking about the people that say hallelujah, the people that shout in the church and sing praises to his holy name. You're right, first man. It's not always easy. But God has this word for the church. God's people still struggling with this issue. You don't know what she said. You don't know what she did to me. Did you see the way he looked at me? I'm not speaking to that person. God's people, church folk. See, I agree that people can do some horrible things to us. Oh, yes, they can. Our society is full of people, including the household of faith, that are experiencing unforgiveness based on incest, rape, infidelity, abuse, neglect, betrayal, murder, gossip, rudeness, just mean-spirited people. But God is telling us, despite what they do, we must forgive in order to live the abundant life. See, if we hold on to unforgiveness, who's in bondage? We're in bondage. So you have to get with it. If you hold on to it, you're the one that's in bondage. We're in chains, and we cannot live abundantly. Usually the person that wronged you, they're going on with their life. You're stuck somewhere weeping in a well and trying to get even with them, and they're going on with their lives in peace and in joy. But you're sitting somewhere, okay then, wait till I see them the next time. But they're going on with their lives, and we are stuck in the past and stuck with past hurts. I know that forgiving people that have turned your world upside down, which caused your life to change without notice, is not easy. And oftentimes the people closest to you can hurt you the most. We struggle with betrayal, unforgiveness. That's real in our families, our friends, yes, even the church folks you are. Holy Spirit, help me get the message across. Even our adult children blame their parents sometimes because of what happened in their childhood. Unable to forgive their parents. I don't know who I'm talking to. Cut off communication. These situations are painful for the parents and the children. Brother not speaking to sister. Sister not speaking to brother. Brother not speaking to brother. Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. But they must. Come on, we got to get with this word. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 say, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But it goes on to say, "But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." See, church, we must apply this word. I know it's a tight word, but it's right, you all. So if you feel you cannot forgive, this is what God says. Ask the Savior to help you. Exercise the power of the Holy Spirit, because in our own flesh, it's hard for us to forgive people of some of the stuff they do to us. But the Bible is telling us, go to the Word. Ask the Savior to help you. However, pray that God will remove and root out this heavy load that you're carrying. See, we must be clear. Total forgiveness and forgiving people, it does not mean that we approve of their sinful behavior or sinful acts. Just as God forgives us without approving of our sins. Come on, y'all. He forgives us. It doesn't mean he approves of our sin. But we must learn that forgiving people does not imply an endorsement of their action. But we still have to forgive. So as the unforgiven servant, and that's in the chapter 18, there was an unforgiving servant that went to the king and asked the king for mercy, and the king granted it. Then that same servant went and laid hands on a fellow servant that owed him. So we have to be careful. We ask God to forgive us, but we are just so, we struggle to forgive others. So we have to be mindful of that. Do you want to be whole? Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to represent Christ here on earth? You must forgive. You must forgive. And let me just talk about this same chapter, chapter 18. The disciples, if you go to the beginning, disciples went to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So he called a little child and had the child stand there. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never see the kingdom of heaven." And I had to ponder about this thing. And then I began to think about how children do. When they're playing and they get upset, minutes later, they're playing with their friends again. They have forgotten about it, and they have forgiven. So that's what God is saying. We have to treat people just like the little children treat each other. You can't hold on to that hurt and that pain. You have to get up and move on with your life. Don't you stay in bondage, in chains, because of what somebody's done to you and made you feel. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Holy Spirit, help me get through this. Because the people are looking at me real strange, like, we ain't doing that. But I believe our relevant question is, as Christians, how should we deal with the flesh side? The part of the human part of us that actually feel the pain, that hold on to the bitterness. How do we deal with it? We are believers. Yes, we are. We must read this word, apply the word, and pray to the Holy Spirit to help us and to deliver us. Remember, the person who gains the most from forgiveness is the person that forgives. Amen. And we all know this, but I ask the question, why is it so difficult to forgive people who hurt you? And as you all know, I do a lot of reading and a lot of research, and I came across this, and most of you all know who Nelson Mandela is, how he had been in prison so long. And he was asked the question, how did you survive all those years without being bitter? He said, bitterness only hurts oneself. Oddly, many who are bitter realize this, yet they still cannot forgive. How did Nelson Mandela overcome his feelings? I pray you apply this. He said, hate. If you hate, you give your enemies your heart and your mind. And he said, do not give either one of those things away. Don't you give your heart or your mind to the enemy. Don't you give anyone the power to control your behavior and control your mind and what you're thinking about. That's too much power. Let the church say amen. I don't know whether anybody is getting this, but don't you give away your power because of their behavior. Brothers and sisters, forgiveness. Once again, that doesn't mean you approve of them. It means that you've decided you're going to follow the word of God. And you want to be right with God. That's all. You let that stuff go. Be like the little children and get right with God. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are past, and looking forward and press on towards the goal of the higher calling. Church, do not let anybody block your relationship with God. That's the main thing. Don't let nobody steal your joy. God is watching. What did the Bible says? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You don't have to be little gods and try to repay anybody. Hallelujah. And I'm trying to get through this because Mr. B, you told me I need to do this. Too often we want to help God. God, you're not moving fast enough. I want to get even with those people. God, I can handle it. We want revenge. I know I'm talking to somebody. We want revenge. We want to even assassinate their character. We want other people to dislike them as much as we dislike them. We want to even send them on a guilt trip. However, we want everybody to know, but what if God posted all of your sin on a big poster outside of the church? Hallelujah. Just think about it. Holy Spirit, help me get through this. Because somebody in here needs to forgive somebody and get on with the work of the Lord. Amen. If you've been wounded or deceived by someone, do as Jesus. Jesus is our model. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, what did he do? He went to God in prayer. Remember, he told the people, told God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So therefore, you can get that spirit. When someone hurt you, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you move on with your life. We must learn also, this is difficult, to pray for the people that offend us. Pray for them. You never know what they're actually going through and what caused them to do what they did to you. See, I'll give you my testimony because sometimes people do little things to you, but sometimes it's great pain. Many of you know that my only child was murdered some years ago. And in order for me to move forward past their hurt and grief, I had to actually forgive that faceless murderer. The police could not find out who did it. The first couple of months and stuff, I was trying to help the police do their job. And all it caused was more pain for me. But when I made up my mind to forgive and began to pray for that anonymous person, my healing took place. My healing took place. I began to even envision that person. I began to even feel sorry for that person. What in the world went wrong in their childhood to think that they should take another life? So you have to begin to turn it over to God and believe that God will heal your brokenness, people of God. I could not live abundantly and I could not stand here and preach this word if I had unforgiveness in my heart. I'm telling you, it will set you free. It will set you free. It doesn't mean that you have to maintain that relationship with people. It means that you are forgiven because the word of God says so. And you get up and you go on with your life, trusting that God will handle it for you. And this thing, I'm going to just say, and then I'm going to begin to wind up. Church, be mindful that Satan hangs around Christians, waiting to explore any weaknesses that he can find in us. And unforgiveness is one of those things. When we can't forgive, Satan is winning, you all. He knows that it will divide the family, divide the church, divide relationships. So he's decided, watch the Christian now. He's looking. But Jesus said to Peter, we need to watch and pray that we won't be tempted by Satan's plans. Watch and pray and believe that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. This is a word for our church, you all. And church, I want to say this. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. We must learn to forgive ourselves when we mess up. Sometimes we make mistakes and we'll stay away from the church and we'll stop talking to church folk. But this is not time, no time to leave the church. God will forgive you. What does the Bible say? If you confess your sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us because of his grace and because of his mercy. We are forgiven. See, grace is getting what we do not deserve, you all. Come on, y'all. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Amen. So we thank God for his grace and his mercy. But I'm telling you, and I'm talking to someone under the sound of my voice, let the past be the past. Too many people in the church cannot walk in God's power because they're holding on to unforgiveness. See, Jesus taught us. We're Jesus followers, right? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught us frequently about forgiveness. He demonstrated it so that we can go to this word and learn all about it. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. Yes, he did. He forgave the people who crucified him. Yes, he did. He forgave Peter who just denied him three times. And the ultimate forgiveness story is what God did for all of us. He knew we were all sinners. So he sent Jesus, his only son, to die that you may be whole, you may be forgiven, you may be healed. Jesus died for our sins. God forgave us of our mess. Why don't you forgive others? The word says, for God demonstrated his love for us. Go to the word. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Holy Spirit, help me just close this. And I pray the person that needs to hear this, other persons have heard you say, let it go. Child of God, I want you to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it go. The ultimate forgiveness story. What God did. And I say, it's because of the amazing grace of God. The undeserved favor of God. The songwriter wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Can you see with spiritual eyes this morning? That's why Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. Thank you, God. I do not know just why Christ came to love me so. But he looked beyond my faults. And you got to learn to look beyond people's faults. And saw my needs. And I shall ever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross, hallelujah, where Jesus died just for me. The songwriter went on to say, how marvelous. I don't know whether you get this. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. See, I was going to hell, but God loved me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. See, that's for all of us. God did it for us. He did it for us. The ultimate story of forgiveness, to teach us how to forgive and live. I'm going to just end with that. So people, God, choose. See, it's a choice if you want to stay in bondage. It's a choice. It is a choice whether you're going to forgive or not. So I ask you to begin to stand all over the sanctuary and just tell somebody, I'm going to let it go today. God has done too much for me to be in bondage. God has done too much for me to walk around in chains. God has done too much for me. And I will not allow anybody, anything to steal my joy. Let the church say amen.